Bruce Jenkins with us. We look through the window of baseball for Truett & White, the professional builder's choice, and Marvin Windows and Doors. And Bruce, first of all, how are you today?
Good. I mean, you know, maybe I had it wrong, and today's actually Monday.
Well, here's the thing, and I'm telling you a true story. I picked the paper up and went inside. It was in this little green bag. And I said, "Wow, I guess they're delivering, you know, in two sections, which used to happen. They'll yeah. You know, they deliver the news part first, and then all the advertisements, all the second. And I sit down and open it up, and there's the Three Dot Lounge. And I said, "Wow, it's Saturday." And then I thought about what we will talk about and the times of games. You know, and again, you say times used to be 7:05, 8:15, whatever it was. You knew when the game started. Right now, the times are all over the place, and I think it affects people because I didn't know what time the game started. I didn't even know what day it was.
Well, it definitely does. I mean, people have their habits. When they think night game, they think 7 o'clock. When they think day game, they think 1. They never think 4 o'clock. They never think 6 o'clock on a Saturday night, you know, and then it's, you know, there are also people who, you know, revel in some of these weird starting times. But I think for the most part, you know, baseball fans are creatures of habit, and then they like to think it's going to be a familiar setup, and when it isn't, it kind of throws them off.
Well, I think it affects the players as well. I mean, you had the Marlin game at 9 a.m. Here, use our times, on Thursday. Yesterday was Friday was 3 o'clock. Yesterday was 8 a.m.
Yeah, I mean, 11 a.m. in the East. That's a ridiculous starting time, anywhere, anytime.
Well, Bumgarner gets lit up. And we've talked about this on the show, Bruce, and I think you and I are on this thing. Hitters are hitting the first pitch, one. They're not fooling around.
No, and you know that, and that's especially what you do against the good pitchers, against Kershaw and Chris Archer and Sale and these guys, and Bumgarner. I mean, Michael Taylor figured, you know, maybe he'll just start me off with a heater, and it came right down the pipe, and he jacked it out. You know, the pitch to Harper really wasn't too bad, although, you know, it was kind of low, a little bit low, but most of the good lefty hitters, that's right where they want it, a little bit low, a little bit in. And he's got such a quick bat. I mean, he just jumped all over that thing. But, yeah, I've said so many times, I think it's smart hitting in any era, any time, especially against the good pitchers, because you just don't want to get, you know, 1-2 on these guys.
Now, 1-2, the batting average is dramatically different. There's no question about it. And also they say, you know, against good pitchers, you better get them early because then they settle down.
Yeah.
And in a way, Bumgarner did settle down, and then Petit really gave up the inherited runners.
Yeah, that was a shame. But Bumgarner definitely settled down. He had some real quick innings, and he looked the same. I don't think there's any big cause for alarm here, but you know, it's a bit of a wake-up call for him, and I think Kershaw's been adjusting to it also. You know, you start guys with a nasty breaking ball and take it from there.
Yeah, well, they said yesterday, Mike talked about he had the wrong time, Bumgarner did, to warm up, and he had to sit in the dugout for 5 minutes, and he iced up, you know, and I don't know. I realize Mike's analyzing it, Mike Kruko, but I'm not sure that was the reason, 5 minutes that he came out. Then I said, look, it's an early morning game. You know, for him, he's pitching at 11 o'clock, but it's a guy who works on a farm. Come on, he gets up early, right?
Oh, yeah, you know, it's great because Bumgarner didn't buy into any of that, any of these ready-made excuses. He said, you know, I was totally ready to pitch, and he was. He was throwing hard. He looked like Bumgarner. They just nailed him a little bit early, and it was shocking for sure. But, I mean, good for him for not, you know, saying, trying to come up with some kind of reason why it happened.
No, I like him. I really do. I think it's a lot of fun. Now, the kid for the Mets today is Steven Matz.
Yeah.
You know, M-A-T-Z for the Mets, mm-hmm. M-E-T-S, shutting out the Dodgers today. And, Bruce, I'll tell you, there's something about a young player coming into the big leagues and all of a sudden looks like the next Marichal or Kershaw or whatever it is. It's exciting.
Well, this guy had an unbelievable debut game. He's got all kinds of family in the stands. He's pitching a great game. He gets a couple of hits. I think he drove in four runs.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you know, come on. Now he's pitching a shutout against the Dodgers, you say?
Yeah, it's 5-0. It's in the top of the seventh.
And oh, that's fabulous.
He had given just a few. The Dodgers only have 2 hits through 6 innings. And we don't get, you know, I want to have him on the show. For sure. Because what I liked about him last week, they showed in the stands his grandfather.
Yeah.
It was great.
Oh, just classic. I mean, that was a great scene. And the whole thing with the Mets and, as you say, the Giants get him right away here. You know, they're trying to go with a six-man rotation. Yeah. They've got all these young pitchers. I know Harvey's upset about it. He doesn't want an extra day of rest. I don't blame him. It's a cockeyed idea, I think. But, you know, with their staff and some of the circumstances that have been surrounding these guys, I can see the reasoning. But I don't know, just in essence, deep down, I don't get it. I don't get a six-man rotation, especially when you have a lot of real good pitchers. I mean, somebody's going to have to doubt. Somebody's going to have to be Nolan Ryan in 69 or Gary Gentry or whatever. That was a four-man rotation, but that's too many. Too many pitchers. Too long for a real good pitcher to sit out and not help you win.
Well, they'll be here this week, and I don't know if you're coming out to any of the Met games, but absolutely.
I'll be there Tuesday, yeah.
Absolutely. I want to talk to the pitching coach or someone about it. Bob Guerin is the bench coach. He's pretty vocal. You know, he'll talk about it. And see why they do it. But I thought Matt Harvey was really interesting. He said he didn't like it. And now this is the guy coming back. He's one of the reasons they have it, because they're concerned about his innings with Tommy John. So Terry Collins, who you can't blame him. You know, the team can't hit. They just don't hit at all. So you can't blame him, even though he's a little tightly wound. He said, look, if you want to pitch over the All-Star break, I'll send you to Coney Island. And for the A team, the Brooklyn Cyclones out there, where I've been to Coney Island, of course. So I liked it. He said, look, you want to pitch more? I'll send you to Coney Island. You can pitch there.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting. It's an interesting theory. But as I say, if you're one of these guys and you're going good, I mean, you know, Harvey, he sat out months and months with Tommy after Tommy John surgery. He's not sitting around anymore. He's out there every fifth day as far as he's concerned. So I can definitely understand where he's coming from. He had a bit of a bad outing, so his complaints don't carry as much weight as it would after he just pitched, you know, eight innings of two-hit ball. But he's a tremendous talent, and so is Syndergaard, and so is DeGrom, and maybe Matt's too. I mean, this team is going to be very interesting.
Yeah, well, you know, just to talk, because the Mets are coming in, we can talk about it a little bit. 1969, and you're right, Tom Seaver, Gary Gentry, Nolan Ryan, Jim McAndrew, Kuzman in those days. I mean, it was a tremendous team. They couldn't score any runs. They couldn't do anything. Yeah. So they ended up trading six players to get Don Clendenin midseason, and they gave up six players. Only one amounted to anything. That was Steve Renko. But they brought Don Clendenin in, and half a season he had 12 homers and 37 RBIs, and he was the MVP of the World Series, and they won. And this is – I'm telling you, the 69 Mets were like this thing. They need hitters.
Somebody, and I don't know if it was a tweeter or a columnist, said, you know, imploring Sandy Alderson to pull a Clendenin deal. Get somebody in here. We got pieces to make this trade.
Yeah, Bill Madden. He wrote it. That's right.
Bill Madden, exactly.
It was great. He wrote a great story in the New York Daily News today about it. By the way, the Sports Grouch has tweeted in that Mats is 1-for-3 today as well.
Fabulous.
As pitching the shutout. Mets are up now 7-0 in the top of the seventh on the Dodgers. Wow. You know, I say it again, and I don't know, maybe I'm crazy, but I just think this National League West is going to be one of those. We've got 80 games to go. I just don't think it's going to look just like – it's not going to go to form. Something's going to happen here.
Well, yeah, this is it's a perilous time for the Giants. I mean, it's you know, it's great that if the Dodgers lose and they win, it's back to three games, and that's got a nice sound to it. You know, four starting to get a little scary because they can get away from you, and next thing you know, it's six or seven, and you're in some trouble. There's no telling. I mean, the Giants were such a great team on the road. Now they're just horrible. You know, they were a terrible team at home. They'll probably sweep the Mets for all we know. Maybe they'll sweep the Phillies. You know, maybe they'll storm into the All-Star break on an incredible roll. I mean, it's so hard to predict, which is the great thing about it. I mean, and you can't rule out, you know, any of the other teams, Colorado, Arizona, even San Diego. I mean, They're so dangerous. They've got so many different weapons. They've all got hitting. They can all crush you. They can all ruin your hopes on a night you figure you're going to win. So that's an ideal situation, I think.
Yeah, I think it's going to look. I look at the second wild card, and you know, the second wild card has changed the landscape of baseball. It changed the trading deadline, July 31st. You may have six teams that are out of it out of 30, as opposed to 12 that used to be out of it. The second wild card makes it different because you could win 86 games, and that's five games over 500, and be the second wild card. And I think that's the thing with San Diego, Arizona, probably not Colorado, but so many of these teams, and the Mets are another one, Atlanta's another one, they're within striking distance with a half a season to go.
Yeah, you know, I like it too, Marty. I really do. I mean, I'm a traditionalist in a lot of ways, and, you know, remembering back to the 8-team leagues and one team advances and that's it. But this is a lot better for the fans. It really is. I mean, and it's, you know, it prevents a lot of teams from just cashing it in at the break, maybe trading away some favorite ball players. Hang in there, you never know. Yeah. I think it's great.
Yeah, no, I like it. I wish the
wild card teams would play a best of three, because that one game, that is really harsh.
Isn't it? You know, I was thinking about that, and I said, boy, you know, Giants win the World Series, so Bumgarner pitches the game. The Pirate rotation's a mess because they tried to win the division, which was insane.
Yeah.
It would have taken 7 wins in a row and 5 Cardinal losses in a row to do it. So they used up all their pitchers. But can you imagine, you know, that one game and Pittsburgh's gone, the Giants move forward, but you play the whole season for one game to go forward. I don't like it. I just agree with you.
It's completely contrary to a sport that plays 162
right,
games.
Right.
I mean, you got to have a little bit of leeway there. One game, that's way, way too harsh.
All right, Bruce Jenkins with us. Of course, we look through the window of baseball. All right, we're halfway through the season. We've played 82 games. What's the story of the 2015 San Francisco Giants? Well, what's the story so far? What do you see?
Well, I think it's hard to condense it into one. I think the story is the Matt Duffys and the Susacks and the Panics and the Hestons and who knows, Lawless. I mean, we're seeing these guys come up, a lot of them in emergency situations, but it's a test of the farm system.
Okay.
And it's been pretty... It's been pretty productive, really, on the whole, when you include Panic and Susak from holding over from last year and coming in now. I think it's been very positive, and it's been a lifesaver. I mean, they've had problems in their rotation. They really had no bench to speak of, and then they lost Aoki and Pence. I mean, they're needing these guys, and they're obviously right now they're in a slump. They lost 4 in a row. They might wind up losing every game on this trip, but I think that, you know, the basics of it are we're seeing guys that can play the game, and if the Giants do make the playoffs, I think we'll look back and say, these kids saved us.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I had this idea about Duffy, and someone called up today about Kevin Franzen, and Kevin Franzen would be like bringing McGee back. I mean, that kind of thing. But I said,
yeah,
you know,
that's not that bad, but
no, well, kind of. But, you know, he can come.
It's like, what's the point? Yeah.
Yeah, but Ronnie Cedeno is there as well. But I thought Duffy, you know, the Tony Phillips guy, you know, Lee Lacy guy, that, you know, the super utility guy. Because, look, Panic and Crawford are playing today. They never get a day off. They're both going to be all-stars, I believe, in about an hour from now.
Right, yeah.
Duffy's playing every day. If you could slot him in to third, short, or second, and then give him a day or two off a week, he may be terrific doing that. That may be the spot for him, but they don't have a third baseman.
Yeah, that's a big problem, and that's something that Sabian might be able to fix. As like you say, Duffy is kind of a handyman.
Yeah,
you know, who doesn't have to play every day. A little bit more fresh, he can do so many things. He could be a great pinch runner if nothing else for you late in the game. You know, for him to be playing third base every day, we're seeing a little bit of a strain on him, and that's understandable. But that may be an infield, maybe the target. At trading deadline time, when everybody's been thinking about pitchers and outfielders, right. I mean, the infield could definitely use a boost.
Yeah, and it helps your offense as well. You bring in Aramis Ramirez, you know, who's one last hurrah kind of guy, you know, and if he's into it, he's your third baseman. Duffy becomes that guy, and all of a sudden your bench is alive and you got something going on.
Oh, so, God, that would, yeah. No, so you'll probably get a caller saying, why don't we trade Lawless for Arenado?
Right. We got those yesterday.
Throw some cash.
Right. We got that yesterday. Crick and Belt for Cole Hamels. I got that yesterday as well. I'm not sure what they'll do, but I think they the pitching.
There's no way of telling. There really isn't right now.
No, the pitching thing is, unfortunately for them, they've got to wait till the end of the month, and who knows who's going to jump on pitchers first. But I think by the end of the month, there still will be some available. But they can't do anything till they see what these two pitchers can do.
Yeah, I think there's no way of telling. That's my story of the season. There's no way of telling. There's so many question marks. You know, for a team that's so stable and has this incredible recent history, there's so many things up in the air right now.
I think that's it. I think you just nailed
it.
I think you nailed it. I think that's the story of 2015 is you don't know.
Yeah.
And, that's it. And we still don't know
No.
going into it. Yeah, that's pretty good. into the All-Star selections. It's coming up in about an hour.
Yeah, I mean, I've kind of jotted down who I'd like to see there. I mean, you know, I think everybody's familiar with some of the basic things, but I mean, I'm a little nuts. I want to see Correa in there. See him in the game somehow. The guy's hit 7 homers already. He's 6'4". He can jump out of the building. He runs like the wind. I mean, I think he's the reason Houston could win that division. With the shortstop that good, I want to see Bryant in there. Of course, I want to see Crawford panic. You know, like to see Stephen Vogt for the A's. Definitely want to see Donaldson over Moustakas at third. He's been phenomenal. You know, McCutcheon in there. I think Jock Peterson, like to see him in there. Mm. You know, these are guys, I'm all for the electricity. You know, the guys that really light it up. And you know what? I'd like to see Alex Rodriguez in there, too. I think we've talked about this before, but the guy's, he's come back from the depths of just being disparaged by pretty much everyone on earth, except whoever he was dating at the time.
Probably that one, too.
Yeah, and even his own team didn't want him. I mean, yeah, against all of that, he's hitting, I don't know, whether he's hitting around 280, he's hitting the ball deep. He's gone past 600 homers and, you know, 3,000 hits. I mean, the guy, you got to hand it to him.
Yeah.
I think that'd be terrific.
Yeah. Well, actually, I'm glad we talked about it because it'll be in about an hour. They'll announce it. And I'll be interested.
It's just the starters today.
Oh, is it just – okay, I'm sorry.
Yeah,
just,
tomorrow they have another show for the backups.
Ah, okay, very good.
Yeah.
All right. I was thinking, how many Kansas City Royals – well, five? Can they get five?
That's a more reasonable number. I mean – and, you know, most of these guys, they're certainly really good players. I mean, like I think Moustakas is a good example. He'd be perfectly fine at third base. I think he's hitting over 300. But Donaldson is the guy.
Yeah.
Donaldson's the guy's having a monster MVP type of year. So, you know, do you really want him in there? I mean, you know, a guy like Kane or Hosmer or Gordon, those guys would look good in the starting lineup. They've weeded out, you know, Infante, and I haven't actually checked the latest in the votes, but
there's Escobar. I guess you got and Sal Perez. They would be all right.
Yeah. But it just isn't a very good look. It's a good look when you got a bunch of guys wearing different uniforms and not all wearing the same one.
We'll end on this one because it's coming up in about an hour. I was thinking about baseball, and I was saying, well, you know, there's so many criticisms. John Shea wrote something about today about the selection process. You and I have talked about it for a month, and you know something, baseball is going to end up getting 600 million votes from fans. Yeah. I mean, you know, 35. I mean, they're going to get some number. Why would they ever want to change that? Because for the marketing, this is exactly what they do.
Yeah, and that's the whole point of it. Those numbers, that numbers light up people's eyes in the executive offices. You know, people are trying to keep their jobs and show off and have something to show. Well, look at these numbers, you know. And that's the bottom line. Why anyone would think that it's a great idea that the game counts for home field, that I will never get. I thought that was a Selig thing that would go away with Manfred, but... and it's funny because the game seems to have lost luster consistently ever since that happened. It seems less meaningful than ever, or I don't know, enticing. But I'm always up for that game. I'm always very, very much up for that game. Great matchups. You know, you get to see it goes on and on. You get to see you know, Chris Sale face McCutcheon, or it's just up and down the line. It's all great.
Randy Johnson against John Kruk. You know, it's
one of the all timers.
Yeah,
right?
Really,
there were Bo Jackson off Rick Russell in Anaheim.
Oh, come on, how about that?
Yeah.
But you know, I was thinking baseball. You know, they're all marketing, and they're not going to change the game from meaning something, because as long as the fans vote like crazy. And they get hundreds of millions of votes. That's what they want. And you know something? It's their business, and they're probably right.
Yeah, and just the whole idea of it going from meaning something to not meaning something, that's not a good theory, you know, just in general. It's a little bit comical to think that, well, looks like the Cardinals are opening up this series because somebody threw a wild pitch in the 10th inning back in July. You know?
I know.
In the All-Star game, but I always thought it was fine to just alternate, just go back and forth, because they're very big on logistics and knowing where, you know, getting the hotels nailed down for the postseason. And if you waited until the best record, that would be chaos. The next thing you know, you got the commissioner staying at the airport Marriott. You never want that.
No, not good.
Anyway, it'll be great. It's greatest baseball. You know, we complain, but in the bottom line, it's all great.
Yeah. All right. Hey, pleasure talking with you today. Thanks for the whole weekend of talking ball with you. And I'll see you out at the ballpark Tuesday night.
See you. Tuesday nights.
All right, thanks,
Bruce. Forward to it, Marty. Thanks.
Thank you. All right, that's Bruce Jenkins. Always a pleasure. More coming up.